Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just hope this voice of mine holds out. I want to thank all of you, even as I was coming in today, several of you said you were praying for me.
Amen.
This hasn't worked for the last 2 days, so thank you very much. I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your prayers. One of the things that we're hoping to do this time around is give pastors, give men, practical biblical understanding of how they can defend against this New Age movement. All the aspects of martial arts, oriental medicine, which are sneaking and permeating their way into just about everything. Pastor Hammond, who couldn't make it today, unfortunately, we were just discussing last week that there's somewhere in California that's just legalized yoga in the school system, forcing the children to do it. And I think by the time I'm done today, the horror of what that actually means, once I'm done showing you and exposing that, which should shake you as much as it does me. But the idea behind today in my sessions is to give you the knowledge and the ability to be able to speak to your sheep, to be able to train your children and your family in the dangers of exactly what martial arts, energy manipulation, oriental medicine has, and how it goes directly against the plan of God. Over the years, I've had several pastors come and say to me, well, this is bad, right? But how can I prove this biblically? I don't know what to tell my sheep. I tell them no, but they say why, and I don't have an answer for them. Hopefully this will be able to give you those kind of answers. So the goal is to go over several aspects of my past life. I had spent over 20 years training in both martial arts, oriental medicine, energy manipulation, and I praise the Lord that He saved me out of that. That He saved me out of that. And I remember thinking to myself, what a waste my life has been. That I spent all my time and all my energy and all my effort pursuing these things. And I had prayed years ago, even as an unsaved man, Lord, if You can find a way to use this portion of my life to glorify Yourself, please do. Never in a million years did I think I'd be standing here in front of all you men and all you pastors being able to share with you these experiences so you could be armed against these tenets of Satan. So I count it a real privilege to be able to do that. Now let me give you a little background. I want to be able to share with you my experiences. So in order to do that, of course, I have to use words like I and me. And my, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that in a prideful way. Anything, I'm embarrassed about it. There are several things I really wouldn't want to share with you. But when I say things like that, understand I have to speak this way to share these experiences with you so you can understand them. I hold 8 black belts, one of which, the highest one, is a master's degree in something called Kyushu Jitsu, which is pressure point fighting. It's rendering men unconscious and paralyzed just by using pressure points in a body. In the 20 years that I did this, I trained many, many men across the country. I liken it, I was the Dr. Strauss of my era. I traveled to other countries. I traveled to other towns. We did seminars up and down the coast. We were in high demand, and me, my school, and my students. I trained under 4 grandmasters, and understand how I use that term. Okay, again, we don't call any man master. I trained under 4 grandmasters. The first one was the practitioner of Kyushu Jitsu, George Dillman. And I'm not glorifying men, I'm just giving you a background. Second one was Remy Presas, which was small circle jiu-jitsu and ground fighting. Remy Presas was stick fighting and knife fighting, Filipino. Mine's already going a little bit here. Leo Hong, which was a form of Kung Fu, and then Professor Wally J, which was small circle jiu-jitsu. So there was a plethora of every form of martial art that you could think of, both from a physical man-on-man aspect, from a weapons aspect, and we took it as far as you could go. Several of you who know that I don't do anything halfway. I always put everything I have into everything, and this was no different. And for some reason, the Lord allowed me to excel at this quite a bit. And so I was as steeped in this Satanism, and let's call it what it is, as steeped in the Satanism as one could go. I was an adept of Satan, if you would. Now, one of my grandmasters was Well, how many people here know the name Muhammad Ali? How many people here know the name Bruce Lee? He was the only man to train with both of them in the world. And he was such good friends with Muhammad Ali that Muhammad Ali sold him his butterfly bed and breakfast training camp out in Pennsylvania. And up until the point where I left this organization, we were still going there to train. All of us masters and grandmasters would go there and train every year. Muhammad Ali was famous for cutting men underneath the eye. It was one of the things in his boxing he was famous for. And the reason he was famous is because my grandmaster taught him how to do that with a martial application and to use his boxing glove in a way he had never thought to do before. So the whole reason to say that is because we are influential in all aspects, both a physical form of boxing, a martial arts. Bruce Lee is arguably one of the most famous martial artists, both with his martial arts, and not that we're condoning it, but with his movies as well. So all of that is to show you that I've got a little bit of experience with this, and what I want to be able to do is share that experience with you to arm you so that you can, again, defend against this. So let's start real quick. Let's go into Genesis 3. And we're going to read the first five verses together. These aren't new to us. But let's go back to the garden. So in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There's two aspects in here which are going to be the focus of what we're covering today, and it's the lies of the garden. He's saying that ye shall not surely die. There's deathlessness. What is the one thing that's most precious to all of us is our life. And in our flesh, we wish we could live forever. Well, maybe some of us are going through some trials where we're just waiting for that rapture. We're saying, let's have the rapture before we get through the lecture series. But deathlessness is one of the things that Satan is tempting with here. And then look at the second one. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Deification. You shall be as gods. And there's a bunch of secret knowledge that he's tempting her with here. So deification, deathlessness, secret knowledge. That is the crux behind each in every cult. You'll find it in every single one of them. And we have a cult class we do in seminary, and it's fascinating to line up all of the cults one by one. You can also almost make a chart and put these topics up the top, and you can just fill in as you go through and see how every single one of them has all of this stuff over and over again. Why? Because it appeals to us. It appeals to our flesh. Satan's been using it since the garden, and guess what, folks? It's been working ever since. It's been working ever since. Let's go to, let's do this. I think we're ready for this now. Yeah. One of the things which is I really enjoy about studying the biblical languages, especially the Greek, there's a precision. It gives you more confidence in exegeting the scriptures. Several words can mean several different things with several nuances. For example, if I looked at Brother Gottwald's here and said, Brother, I love you. Okay, what do you mean by that, Jeff? I could mean, I love you like a brother. Philos, Philadelphia, I have a brotherly love for you. Or, I could mean it, storge, I have a family love, like a mother does for a child. Or it could be agape, a completely selfless love. God breathed through me that I just love you selflessly. But it can be qualified. And by the way, just for you church members here, you're called to have Philadelphia love with all your church members, and storge love with all your church members, and agape love with all your church members, so you're without excuse.
Amen.
So if somebody calls you at 2:30 in the morning, it's not, ugh, it's what do you need, and you drop everything.
That's right. Right? Amen.
By the same token, if I call you church members, you better come.
Amen.
All right. But you see, there's a precision there, and there's no difference. We're going to do a couple of word studies here to be as precise as the Greek allows us to be. One of the words for knowledge or biblical knowledge that we find in the Greek is oida, which is absolute, perfect, or possessed knowledge. Let me get you to turn Let's start in 2 Peter 2:9. 2 Peter 2:9. And that says, "The Lord knoweth, oida, how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished." Do we think the Lord is capable of taking care of us and capable of taking care of the unsaved? Of course we do. He knows perfectly how to do that. And this is one of my favorites. I remember the first time that Dr. Strauss taught this years ago, and I latched onto it, especially as a seminarian. Many other seminarians here can cling to this one too. 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20. Oh, I hear John over there. He likes that one already. 1 John 2:20. "But you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One that ye know all things." That's pertaining to the Bible, to Scripture, godliness. We can know all things. Unfortunately, you just found out you're without excuse and living a sanctified Christian life. All right? There's that kind of knowledge. And then secondly, we have epistemi, which is factual knowledge. James 4:14. James 4:14. That says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanish away." You know, there's no way you could possibly know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's a fact that you don't know. I could also say, for example, Brother Meadowcroft is wearing a brown tie. That's a fact. We can't argue with that. Anybody looking at him would say, yeah, that's a fact. That's factual knowledge. But here's the one that's going to be a crux for us today. Gnosko, experiential, progressive, acquired knowledge, to learn or to come to know something. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. I'm going to combine oida and gnosko here to show you a little something. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. And I'll insert for you the oidas and the gnosko so we can follow. "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know," oida, perfect knowledge, "that we all have knowledge," experiential knowledge, gnoso. "Knowledge puffeth up," experiential knowledge puffeth up, "but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth," that's oida, perfect knowledge, "anything, he knoweth," that's gnosko, "nothing, yet as he ought to know," which is gnosko, "but if any man love God, the same is known of him," gnosko. Now let me read this a little differently. "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we have perfect knowledge that we all have experience. Experience puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think he has a perfect knowledge of anything, he experiences nothing as he ought to experience it. But if man love God, the same is experienced of him." You see that? That's very, when you see it that way, it changes. Well, it doesn't change. It makes more precise, more in-depth what we're talking about. Now, we could spend quite a bit of time going into all the grammar and the etymology between oida and between gnosko. And let me read you a little bit here, some notes that I wrote down. Scholars maintain that there's a distinction which existed between the perfective kind of knowledge denoted by oida and the progressive or acquired knowledge, which came about through gnosko, expressed by it. Gnosko is originally an inceptive verb. We see that with the stem sk in there, which means it represents the acquisition or knowledge, or mean coming to know something. Now, epistemi is resultive, by the way. It's a factual, practical knowing of something. So what are we saying with all this? Gnosko is going to be what we're going to focus on for a second here. This means that you and I come to know something through directly going through and experiencing it ourselves, okay? Having said that, let's go over to Revelation 2:24. Now, this is setting the background. Revelation 2:24. Now, we could spend some time going through all the context of this and Jezebel and all that, but I just want to, for sake of time, I'll just focus in on the point that this verse is making. And it says, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine," teaching, "as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known," gnosko, experientially come to know this doctrine, "the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." What is this telling us? There is doctrines that Satan has that are very deep and very complex that you could get lost in. Maybe spend 20 years and never plumb the depths of them. Okay? And what he's saying is he's commending these folks for not having experiential knowledge of these doctrines. In other words, they didn't go and have anything to do with them. They didn't participate in any classes. They didn't get up and do hands-on demonstrations. That kind of thing. So there is a form of knowledge which we can have which is safe and scriptural, which is what I'm trying to share to you today, but I'm not calling any of you up here for demonstrations, is the point. This is the one verse that we would teach in the cults class to show it's not okay to go and take a free class. It's not okay to use that $60 certificate to get a free Reiki adjustment. It's not okay. You should have no experience whatsoever with any of these doctrines or depths of Satan. Amen. I had one of the people that I support at work. She was moved because somebody had gave her a $60 Reiki adjustment. And she was all excited about it. And she knew that I had a history in some of this, so she was sharing that with me. And I said, oh, please, God, I'll give you $60. Don't go. Don't go to this. You have no idea what you're opening yourself up to. And she couldn't understand it. I was too bad she's not here for this class today, this lesson today. Does all that make sense, though? No experience. So you don't go try any of this. If you afterwards go start searching this stuff out on the web, you don't go do anything with it. All right? If you want to educate yourself a little bit more. So let's look a little bit into, I would say, Satan's depths, the author of these, to get a little bit better understanding. As the pastor said, we're going to have a little Satanology class here to expose him, to expose his methodology, to expose how he works against our Lord and Savior. Let me get you to flip over to Isaiah 14. Hold your place there once you get there. Let's go back for a second to a gentleman that we mentioned earlier. Bursley. He was, especially when I was growing up, the pinnacle of martial arts, both practicality and in movies. And again, we're not endorsing movies whatsoever. But movies appeal to a certain kind of people, don't they? They're targeted towards certain folks. And the subjects of the movies are targeted towards certain folks. And there's a reason that Bruce Lee's movies were so popular. It's because they were popular to martial artists. Because martial artists agreed with what was going on in those movies. Now, the attitudes that were put forth, the ideas that were put forth, the philosophies that were put forth appeal to these kind of people, to me. In one of his most famous movies, Enter the Dragon, it's a huge tournament that a gentleman has put together. And it's done. Someone's nodding. They've seen it. See, in our unsaved days, maybe we've all seen this kind of stuff. I know I did. Yeah. But during that time, almost like Dr. Strauss gave an introduction tonight, the gentleman who was hosting the tournament came forward and he gave an introduction. And the words that he uses are very telling. He said, "Gentlemen," speaking to all the martial artists there and those of us in the audience watching the movie, "welcome. You honor our island. I look forward to a tournament of truly epic proportions." Now pay attention to this. "We are unique, gentlemen, in that we create ourselves. Through long years of rigorous training, sacrifice, denial, and pain, we forge our bodies and the fire of our will. But tonight, let us celebrate, gentlemen, you have our gratitude." When I heard those words as a martial artist, I said, that's right. I'm the one training 5 days a week. I'm the one training 4 hours a day. I did all this. I suffered. I sacrificed. I'm a self-made man. God was not part of that. See, one of the things about martial arts and oriental medicine, it all looks this way. It's all about you and nobody else. And when you condition yourself to look that way, everybody else, well, it's the exact opposite of how we're supposed to be looking at everybody else. We're supposed to love even our enemy, agape even our enemy, which means everything we do is all about them, not about us. Right. So it's the exact opposite of a biblical principle, and you get trapped and locked into that. Well, where do you think that came from? Let's go to our Isaiah verse. We know anybody else that has the same kind of philosophy? So in Isaiah 14, let's read. We could read all of this. Let's start in 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? So we know who we're talking about. Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You know, when it says, I will exalt, in the Hebrew, that's something called a hifil causative. That means he's saying, I myself am going to cause this to happen. Didn't we just hear that in the philosophies behind that martial arts movie? It says, I myself am going to cause this to happen. But what strikes me most about this down here is the last one where it says, I will be like the Most High. That's a hithpael in the Hebrew. And that's interesting to me because that's... It's a reflexive of a PL intensive. What does all that mean, Brother Jeff? Okay. Reflexive, like for our Greek students, means I'm going to perform the action of the verb for my own interest and for my own benefit, and I'm the only one that's going to receive all of that. And the PL is intensive. So it's almost like Satan is saying, he's pounding his fist, saying, I will be like the Most High. Do you realize what he's saying here? I'm going to make myself equal to God. Why does he even think he has the ability to do that? How can the creation become the creator? Mm-hmm. That's key. Now, are you going over Pleroma? Are you going over? Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll just touch on this a little bit here then. But all of these cults have a similar idea of either we were gods and we've lost that godhood and we need to work our way back up a Pleroma or a ladder to get into that godhood again, or we're still gods and we've forgotten how to become gods, like in Scientology. And we need to be clear so we can remember that we're gods and tap into our divinity again. Where do you think that philosophy came from? Satan right here is saying, I will be like God. You see that? Now, let me show you one other thing. Go to Ephesians while I'm thinking about it. We talked about how men will spend years training themselves in this and get trapped into something that becomes a habit. Ephesians 6:11. Hopefully we're all intimately familiar with all of these verses, and we have great victory in our spiritual warfare because we're depending on this. And let me challenge you this now. Nobody hang your head, but how many of you prayed on the armor this morning? All right, there's your challenge. Better do that before you get out of here today if you haven't. But here in 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. I think it's Woost who says that this is the term he uses for this is methodia. There's a method. There's a plan. And I always get the image of like a lab technician who's doing experiments going, this works. Nope, this doesn't. This works? Nope, this doesn't. It's a long-term plan that Satan has in order to defeat us spiritually. He's very patient, he's very clever, he's smarter than all of us in this room put together, number one. So don't think you have any chance against him. The armor, that's what's going to defend you against it. But if he can get you trapped into something like that, a 20-year plan, you're stuck. He can almost just let you go and you're just going to keep right on going. I can't tell you how many people I led down this path. One of the key components in martial arts, oriental medicine, and energy manipulation is that energy itself. I'm probably not going to be surprised when I ask this question in today's day and age and how far this has gone. But how many of us have heard the term ki or chi or something like that? See, more hands than really I want to see up. That term actually means wind, vital energy, breath. It's a force that exists and it's neutral. It's not good, it's not bad. It just exists in all living things. And we know that in Genesis 1:31, everything that was created was good. But I challenge you to find me anywhere in Scripture where it talks about us using any of this. You're not going to find it. It's not in there. Hence, we're not supposed to be touching it. Okay, so we're not supposed to have any experience with it. We're not supposed to be touching it. But in my experience, this stuff works. This stuff works. It was the height behind my martial arts, and the Oriental medical practice that I had. Now, one of the things that would be done from a martial aspect is this chi would be manipulated both in yourself and then consequently in somebody else to cause adverse effects. On the healing side, it would be done to correct problems in other people. I lived over in Israel for a while. And I don't know if you know this, but you can't work over there as an American because you can't pay taxes. So we did anything we could to make money. And one of the gentlemen, he was a hotel owner, and we stayed in a hostel. No cheap. And he saw us outside, myself, I was there with some of my students, and we were practicing. And I noticed he'd watch us from up on the balcony. And eventually he asked what was going on, and we told him. And he said, you know, the Oriental medical side, and he had a friend that had been in a car accident. And he had one of those, you ever seen those cones that people wear and they got the rods coming out? He was in terrible pain, terrible agony. He hadn't had relief. He brought him in and we were able to remove his pain, take his pain away like that. And he was so amazed, he opened up his whole bottom floor of the hostel, gave us several rooms, and he allowed us to convert it into a healing clinic. And he helped us write flyers and advertisements in Hebrew and English. And we were able to bring in money, and that's how we were able to pay for ourselves while we were over there. But the point is, this stuff works. And we're going to get more in depth in that as we go. Let's go to Genesis 2:7 to make a point. Since we're talking kind of esoterically here. Let's read this. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is something I like to call the constitution of man. So we can see that man is basically, this is the Bible saying this. If you ever wondered, who am I? What am I? Here's the Bible telling you right here. You're actually made up of two parts. You have a material, physical part, and then you also have an immaterial or a spiritual part. And look what it says. There's two actions. He formed man from the dust of the ground. That's something physical, isn't it? And then what else did he do? He breathed into him the breath of life. Now, the Hebrew is actually plural. That's lives. And man then became a living soul. So the physical aspect and the spiritual aspect were combined to become a living soul. We are souls. We have spirit. The world gets that wrong all the time, doesn't it? They use the word spirit for, or soul for spirit. Now, why am I saying this? Why is this coming up here? This is important because whatever affects you physically affects you spiritually. And whatever affects you spiritually affects you physically. Now, let me ask you, which side would you put your emotions on? That's kind of one of these no-brainer questions, right? They'd be on the spiritual side. Where would you put your thoughts? You can't touch your thoughts. They'd be on the spiritual side. Where would you put your will or your desire? It would be on the spiritual side. So when someone or the Bible is talking to you about spiritual warfare, these are all the things which are encompassed. Anything which is immaterial is spiritual. And it directly affects the physical. Now, I don't need to tell you that, but if you get upset sometimes, you have to take a Tums because your stomach reacts in a bad way. You're emotionally distraught. Your body has a physical reaction. Okay, I used to tell my students, this is one of our mantras, energy is emotion. Emotion is energy, and its use is all dictated by your intent. Spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. Even as an unsaved man, I accidentally stumbled upon a biblical truth. And let me say that the world, when they stumble on something which they find to be true or factual, they've stumbled on biblical truths whether they know it or not. Which is why it works. It's not because of man's genius. It's because of something that God's created. So if you can affect somebody physically, you can affect them spiritually. And if you can affect them spiritually, you can affect them physically. And that is where martial arts and Oriental medicine combine. And that's where the true danger of all of it comes from. Now, I'm going to give you this term now. We talked about qi, and there's a term called qigong, which means, qi means vital energy, breath, gong means work or cultivation over a period of time. So qigong is using processes to cultivate energy over a period of time with a desired end result. Now, I came up with this years ago, even before there was Apple products, so maybe I should have gone into marketing. But what is Apple saying? Well, there's an app for that, right? We used to say there's a qigong for that. No matter what you wanted to do, there was a way to do it with qigong. And think about that, the physical or blending with the immaterial. Of course there'd be a way to come up with anything once you understood the system. And what we would do is we would use qigong practices to heighten our martial art to the point where we would supersede other martial artists. Case in point, we had a tournament in Maine at the time, and we would, tournaments are, you know, several fights that go on and on and on and on. You get exhausted. By the time one of these is done, you feel like you're exhausted. Anyone here is, I know, there's been some boxers or something like that. But my students were trained to reduce the amount of time that lactic acid would disperse out of their muscles. They could consciously force their bodies to disperse the lactic acid faster so they'd recover quicker. So they were stronger and more responsive during each match. We went to that tournament. I had 14 students that competed in two categories apiece, so that's a total of 28 competitions. We came home with 26 gold and 2 silvers. This stuff works. Now, I was asked never to come back again, by the way. Our school was asked never to come back again. We embarrassed several folks, several high-level Koreans. So the point is, you can augment things tremendously with this. There is a, I don't want to get too sensational because, again, I don't want to draw you in. I don't want to tempt you with anything, but I need to tell you enough so you understand this stuff works. I can give you my experience, hopefully, without giving you any temptation. It's not appealing to the flesh. How much money would it be worth if you could increase the vertical leap of every NBA basketball player by 6 inches? All right, I forgot we got some basketball folks here. We had a process of using the energy that we could do that. In my school in Maine, had a large, the whole bottom floor is about as big as this. And there was a section where these tables were, where there were open archways. And what I did is I had a whole series of courses, and I'd have the students run through. And when they went through the arch, they'd jump, and they put their hand, and I'd mark on the wall how high they would jump. So my whole purpose was to completely exhaust them for 45 minutes. To the point where the legs were shaking. And then they would use this technique to increase their ability of vertical jumping, and their mark was higher than even the first one by an average of 6 inches. See, there's a lot of potential for misuse in this. I mentioned to you that bed and breakfast, Muhammad Ali. I don't remember the gentleman's name now, but at the time he was the heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Now, this gets into energy is natural and it's occurring, but just like anything else, if you open up the door to Satan, he's more than happy to come on in. And he's more than happy, let me see if I can remember how I like to say this now. Satan always wants to give you what you think you want, so that when you get it, you wish you never had it. Okay? If you start into this path and open up this door, as we're going to see, it doesn't just go this way and stop here. You eventually open yourself up to Satan, and you invite him in, and that's when the real supernatural kind of power starts to kick in. We have people in our organization that could knock people out from a distance. Did the hackles just go up on your back? Well, they should have. That's all satanic. That heavyweight champion came to the camp, and he wanted to see if this was real. And when we demonstrated it was real, all of a sudden there was an in-ground pool donated. And all of a sudden our instructor, our grandmaster, had a $1 million yacht. And all of a sudden, he was sitting ringside, and then when this guy got in trouble, his opponent just seemed to go down. There's a lot of misuse that can happen with this. All right, now I'm telling you all of that because we're going to contrast a few things here. Oh, that's supposed to say power up top, not biblical knowledge. There you go. First oops in the slide. All of this is talking about having special knowledge and some kind of power. Knowledge and power. Knowledge and power. But is there a biblical knowledge you're supposed to have? A biblical power that you're supposed to have and nothing else? Yes. Yes. Ephesians 1:9. This is one of my favorite verses when it comes to power. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Now guess what? Here's another word study for you. There's four different words that are translated power in the New Testament in this verse. In this case, they're also translated as working, mighty, and power. Now, what I like to do is I like to look at them in reverse order. So the first word here is kratos, which is force or strength. And I've got these color-coded for a reason. So the kratos power, give me a second, is what God gives to us. Let me bring up my references, because I'm going to give you some references for this too. All right. So what is our verse saying? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Kratos is force or strength. And then ischus is ability. Energia is working, or energy being worked out. And then our final one is dunamis, which is inherent power, residing individual, power being exerted forth. So what's really happening here with the believer, God is giving His kratos power to the believer. It's then latent or inherent in the believer as ischus. And the believer needs to work out this energia in their life and ministry. And when they do, it produces the dunamis evident in the Christian life and ministries. So God, let's look at this now. Here's sovereignty. God says, I am going to give you the power to be an effective church member. It's going to remain latent in you until you exercise your responsibility to work it out in your ministry, and then you're going to have dunamis or dynamite, an explosive spiritual result. So folks, there's no excuse. If you have any lack in your ministry, if you have any lack in your sanctification, anything pertaining to do with godliness or the Great Commission, guess whose fault it is? You have the power to be able to do all of it. Now, let's start with the first one. I'm just going to read to you. Since we were in the armor earlier, Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong. That's dunamis. That's dynamite. In our battles with Satan, we're expected to have explosive results. There's no excuse for us to ever be defeated spiritually. If you are, may I say, you perhaps are not relying on the appropriate source for your battle. Okay? Because it even says there, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's kratos and ischos again. It's right there in the same verse. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gave him. That's ischos, ability. You have the ability to do the work in your assembly that you're called to do. Now, this is important. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This is our energia. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So how is it we work out this energy? If it's not based in the words of God, it's not going to work anything out. If you're not having success, maybe you're not reading your Bible enough. Just a thought. And then on Colossians 1:11 for our dunamis, that says, strengthened with all might, or dynamited with all dynamite, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. Now, this is a big difference between the power that I just laid out for you earlier, isn't it? Now, lest we forget, the Great Commission gives us a fifth kind of power. The Lord Jesus Christ said all power is His, didn't He? That's ecclesia, that's authority. That's the fifth kind of power. He gave us His authority to use and exercise all of this power for His commission. A lot of people say, I'm going to go leave and go find myself. I'm going to go discover who I am. I'm going to look for my purpose in life. back when I was growing up, there was always these images of people climbing these mountains to get to these Indian or Hindu swamis who are up there, and they spent all their lives just focusing on the meaning of life. They're kind of like a pseudo-Solomons, if you would. And these people were supposedly the wisest men and had all the answers. You know what? The Bible already tells you who you are. The Bible already tells you what you're supposed to be doing and where you're supposed to be doing it, and in great detail how you're supposed to get it done. This is where our focus is supposed to be. This is the only power we're supposed to be focusing on. Amen. You are to have no experience with any other kind of power in your life, period. Somebody said something to me a little while ago that stuck with me, and he's here today. I'm going to quote him. I'm not going to say his name, but we'll see if he knows who it is. He said to me, if you need to make up an excuse to do anything, you probably shouldn't be doing it. That goes right along with what we're talking about. If you can't go to your pastor and say, guess what, I just signed up for an Arnie stick fighting class, isn't that great, pastor? You probably shouldn't be doing that. All right. When students would come into my class, and I would agree to take them on as students, this would be the first thing that they received. This was the beginning or the heart of my martial arts and oriental medicine. When I trained my daughter, I told her these were our family secrets. You don't share these with anybody. Secret knowledge, okay? This is the crux and the heart behind the martial arts and the oriental medicine I did. Now, we've heard a lot of talk nowadays about Mother Earth and save the Earth and go green. That's all I see at work. We've got all these save the trees and earthy, crunchy kind of things. It's got its basis in all of this. There's an elemental aspect to it. Now, I don't want you to get all confused by all of this, but look in the center of the circles. Here you got wood, fire, earth, metal, water. Those are naturally occurring elements, but we're not actually talking about a plank of wood or a piece of steel. We're talking about, this is a word which represents a characteristic of these kinds of things, which is also representative of that kind of energy in people. So, for example, what is fire? How many people sat in front of a fire and just mesmerized for hours watching it flicker and move and dance? It's flickering, moving energy, which really is, it doesn't stand still. That's what fire is. Well, with its chi that's in people, some of it acts like fire. And then there's some of it which acts like earth, very grounded. Some of it acts like metal, like water, like wood. And I want to be careful not to give you too much, but enough, okay? Now, notice the circle that goes all the way around. And then notice the straight lines that form almost a pentagram in the center. You guys notice that? That jumping out at you? That should be a warning sign right there, right?
That's right.
Yeah. The circle that goes all the way around is a method of qigong, or energy manipulation or use, which is called the co-cycle. I'm sorry, which is called the mother-son cycle. And what that means is it's a healing aspect. As a mother takes care of a son, so one element takes care of the other. Now, how many people have heard of yin-yang? You've seen that symbol with the swirls and the black and the white, and sometimes there's a white circle in the black or a black circle in the white. There's a little yin and a little yang, or a little good and a little bad, or a little male and a little female. That really goes directly against Scripture, doesn't it? Same principle applies here. This is what's called a five-element theory, but it also uses yin-yang as well, which we'll get into. But wood takes care of or engenders fire. What does fire need to exist and flourish? It needs wood. What does earth need? When fire is done burning, it turns into ash or something of the earth. And you see how that goes all the way around. Now, the other one, which goes this way, is called the controller's destructive cycle. Let's just start with, for example, fire. Fire melts metal, follow the line. Metal penetrates wood like an axe. Wood, metal cuts wood. Wood penetrates the earth. Earth muddies the water. Water quenches fire. That's a process of understanding the energy system in a body, and I can now control those aspects of you or destroy those aspects in you. So when you understand something like that, if someone's attacking you, and you can use your energy to affect them, like say their pressure points, you could render a limb paralyzed. Now let me show you the trap. When the Lord started calling me out of all this, let me give you a little more background. The martial arts that I trained in was full contact. This was We did ultimate fighting way before there was ultimate fighting. How did you know you won? He's broken, he's bloody, he's not getting up, and I'm still standing. Martial arts means war. It means someone's going to die. We don't have that nowadays. We have civil arts. We don't have martial arts. The only thing we have is the ultimate fighting. And so we trained for real. And... excuse me. I just forgot where I was going with that. It has something to do with the control cycle. Oh, the trap. So when the Lord started calling me out of all that, he did it. I give credit to my pastor for a wise thing he said. I don't even know if he remembers this. This was almost 12 years ago. And Dr. Strauss has a way of taking his 40 years, putting it into one sentence, and you barely get a glimpse of what you've really gotten. You realize you've got to study it for about 4 or 5 years before you get it all. But I was talking to him, and I said, I'm really convicted that I need to stop martial arts altogether. But I just can't find a real biblical reason why I should. I don't know if you remember this conversation in your office. But he listened to me go on and on and on for about 25 minutes as I shared all my woes and my concerns. And in retrospect, I could tell he was just waiting for me to stop talking so that he could just give me the advice that I really needed. And he said to me, he goes, well, man is made in the image of God. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that doesn't help. Well, think about that. If we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the Hebrew behind all that is a uniqueness, a special, it's almost like needlework is what one of those words means. God has fashioned each one of us perfectly and uniquely, and I'm going to come up and I'm going to mar that? I'm going to damage that? I'm going to wreck that? I'm not looking at others as God is. And when I realize that every time I strike somebody, I'm damaging the actual work of God, I didn't want to touch anybody anymore. I didn't want to practice anymore. That was huge. That was a big help for me. But here was the trap. I went from full contact. I started getting convicted. What do we tell women? Go for the groin. Why? Because it works. Something's happened, you go for the groin. Well, you could cripple a man for life. I didn't want that responsibility. So I would say there's got to be a more Christian way to defend yourself. Oh, look. Here's pressure points. Now we can do pressure points, and now if someone comes to me, I can paralyze a limb, and they fall over. And then eventually they get better, and they can get up. Oh, look, here's knocking people out from a distance. Now I don't even have to touch them. Oh, it's getting more and more Christian, because it's less conflictive. No, it's not. It's getting more and more satanic.
That's right.
Satan was reeling me in with power and ability and knowledge that had nothing to do with what we looked at earlier. Okay? So, here's the basis, and we'll, here's the yin-yang we were talking about earlier. How many of you guys have seen all these lines everywhere, the solid lines, broken lines? That you've seen those on maybe flags? Okay, they all mean something, we're not going to get into all of that. But again, here's what I was talking about. Here's the, you see the white dot and the black swirl, the black dot and the white swirl, and there's also one in the center. You could spend your whole life doing nothing but studying this. There's so much depth to this. All right. But what I want you to notice is, see how you've got metal, water, wood, fire, earth, but then you also have directions, west, north, east, south, center. You see all that? How you physically position yourself, and this is going to become very important when we start talking about martial arts, determines how the energy affects your body and how your body affects the energy. I'm going to date myself. How many people had old televisions? We're not endorsing television either, by the way. Had televisions with the bunny ears. And you had, in order to get a signal, some of the younger guys are going, what are you talking about? You had to move them. So my youngest brother always got stopped doing the bunny ears. So he'd be standing behind the television. All right, don't move. Stand right there. Hold it right there. And he'd be like, but I can't see. Just don't move. Hold it right there. The same way, and that was moving something physical to pick up an energy signal. Your body moves in the same way to pick up these energy signals, both outside of yourself and to manipulate the energy inside of yourself. When I thought about this last night, it's not natural, and understand how I say that, to put yourself in a martial arts pose. If you had never seen anything to do with martial arts, would you spontaneously throw yourself into a front stance or a back stance? Just because? You wouldn't. You'd never do that. It's something you have to be shown how to do, or someone has to show you to do it. It's not natural, because we're not supposed to be touching this stuff. But in the same way, when I am in a stance and I'm moving in forms or patterns or practicing, I'm the bunny ears. And I'm adjusting myself to all this kind of energy, and I don't even know what I'm doing. I would tell my students, you needed to train with me for 3 years, sometimes four, and then you were able to test for your black belt. You know what black belt means? You're ready to start. You're now a beginner. That's what a black belt really means. And for those 3 years, I would use my energy to manipulate their energy and open up all of their pathways and connect them to all this energy. It was the fast course. Unlike the slow course for your master's brother, it was the fast course to the masters. And then they were ready to do all that. Now, we'll get into more of that in a bit. Now, this is the advanced. I don't know, how many, can people see that in the back? Probably can't read all that all the way in the back, right? All right, I'll read for you. Right here across, we've got the element of metal, wood, water, fire, earth. And then we have yin organs. Oh, I probably should mention this. Remember how we said everything physical is connected to everything immaterial or chi-wise? The physical organs in your body are also connected to an energy. So you could physically affect an organ in the body with nothing more than energy. How dangerous is that? For my master's test, when I had to go do this in front of these four grandmasters, I actually turned off somebody's liver, and he collapsed. And I had to restore him later. And this is not possible. Are there any medical professionals here? Can eyes dilate like this, or do they just dilate together? They don't dilate independent of one another. That's what's happening with this gentleman. Clearly something non-natural was going on. All right? Now, you're going to, this will become important. Here's the directions we were talking about, west, east, north, south. Notice each of these corresponds with one of these elements, metal, wood, water, fire, earth. Look it, there's colors, white, green, black, red, yellow. There's tastes, there's sensory organs, there's emotions, there's sounds. Now, why is all this up here? There's seasons. There's seasons when these certain elements are stronger. There's certain foods that if you're weak, say if you know you've got kidney problems, there's certain foods you could eat which will strengthen your kidney. The physical is affecting the immaterial and vice versa. I'm saying this because if you know this chart and you use this chart, that's intent. You are now purposefully using this knowledge to augment yourself. And that this is preparation to answer several questions you're going to have later. That's why I'm setting this up now. For example, how do I know if I can or can't do something? I'll give you one right now. If I tell you this is essential for you, what does that mean? Yeah, it's not a want, it's a need. You have to have it. How many people have heard of essential oils? Are they really essential? The very name tells you you need it. Well, they're not. This is one of the benefits of having both a martial arts clinic and a healing clinic at the same time. There was a point where my feet were killing me. I'd been up all week, my feet were killing me, so I said, all right, we're having a foot massage session today. Everybody come on in. Grab your peppermint, your essential oil, come on in, and I'm going to show you how to manipulate all the energy in the feet to restore the kidneys and all that kind of stuff. So everybody had a practice on me. That worked really well. I love that class. But we were using these principles, understanding that this water element, which directly affects the kidneys, by the way, and the time of class was 6 o'clock, so when is the energy strongest in the kidney? Between 5 and 7 p.m. Ooh. Everything is maximized to get the greatest physical response result in a body for healing. You see that? Now, the other same thing is you can do that for harming. Yeah. Yeah. You remember this... Well, you can see it right here, but let me go back. This system here of destruction, all you need is 3 points. That's an interesting number, isn't it? 3 points in combination to have an adverse effect on somebody. Just 3 in combination. For healing, you don't need that much. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're gonna skip that for now because we're running out of time on this. Again, we'll take 5 minutes just to do this. And you probably can't see that from back there, but I got a bigger one. Don't worry about it. This is just so you can get a scope. Here's something representative of a human body. And what you can't see is multiple dots all over this person, which are pressure points. There's over 900 of them. And then what you also can't see, but we'll zoom it in here so you can, is there's lines running through it. And each of those lines is like, it's called a meridian or a channel where the energy flows. And along each of those meridians are points where you can access those meridians. Now, when you combine that yin-yang theory and the five-element theory, it has a massive effect upon these. Now, let's think for a second. Yin-yang, that means that there's a balance, right? That's what the Orientals teach, that there has to be a balance. And if there's something wrong with you, you're out of balance. Well, some of us may feel out of balance all the time. It has nothing to do with this. It just means we've got to get back in our Bible. But picture that man. I've got front and I've got back. I've got right and I've got left. If I draw a line directly through me this way and directly through me this way, I start getting quadrants. And the interesting thing is, I can affect somebody's right foot by touching their left shoulder because of this yin-yang theory. So someone's grappling with me and they step forward with their right foot, I'll go for a pressure point in the left shoulder, which I know runs the energy right down their back and goes right to their foot. I'll close that energy circuit off and their foot's going to collapse and they're going to go down. And then it gets more advanced from there. Combinations of these points are deadly. All right? But look at this. And we were trained in learning all of these points and everything it do, and each point has a healing and a harming purpose as well. And here's the back. On the top of the head. Look at the ear. See all that? The deep things of Satan, how deep do you want to go? You see why this could take 20 years and you could barely scratch the surface? That sound like a mockery of anything else we know? Is there anything else which is unsearchable that we're never going to find the bottom of? You think he's patterning off of that? You think he's making a mockery of that? Of course he is. Of course he is. What does, when we look at our, let's flip over to Philippians 2. When we're going to end on this, a little break here. When we think of yin-yang, that's the last thought I want to put in your head. It's not only talking about male, female, light, dark. It's also talking about a balance between good and evil. We talked about that pleroma. I'm trying to get back to Godhood. One of the, it's been said, that the second most recognized symbol in the world after the cross is the Superman crest, the Superman logo, worldwide. Why is that? Why is that? Do you know that the person or people that created Superman were Jewish? Mm-hmm. Do you think that they had the idea of a Superman or a superhuman somewhere in their ideology as being Jews? Of course, they were looking for the Messiah. I find this interesting. Now, I'm saying that because yin-yang has the concept of something we call dualism, or good versus evil. Well, evil, in the Bible, there's no such thing. Evil doesn't have a chance. God's sovereign, God wins. So when you promote a theory of yin-yang, well, that's interesting, a theory of yin-yang, you're promoting a good versus evil methodology. And what's popular right now in our culture? Superheroes. Aren't these movies everywhere nowadays? Mm-hmm. It's, again, influencing and coming right in. Let's read this. Let's go to, we'll start in 5. So Philippians 2:5. Well, like I said, we'll end on this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, excuse me, this is a great kenosis passage, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now look at this. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. I find this fascinating because the Greek behind exalted him, it's a word called hooper Uso or Super Uso, which is built off another super or hooper word. It's super built off super. So the only super Superman is the Lord Jesus Christ, period, and anything else is a mockery directly against that.
Amen.
Now, if you go scroll down even to the bottom here, yeah, scroll like on a computer. Well, we'll save that.